Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. Great to see you all here on this little moist day that God has given to us. Very special welcome to anyone who is visiting with us. If you live in the area and you're looking for a church to call your very own home, we'd love to have you join us here at Atonement. Just speak to me and we'll make sure that happens soon. As always, when we gather for worship, the sacrament of Holy Communion is offered as a central part, and all of you are invited to come and have your faith fed and refreshed through the gifts God gives us at his table today. Following this service, we're going to gather downstairs for a potluck luncheon at 12-ish, and depending on how long the preacher goes on. And then the potluck will be followed by our congregational annual meeting, which is obviously a very important event for our communal life. The agenda items are listed there on your words of the week, so we hope that you'll come down and join us for both of those events. And then on Thursday night, it's our time to do Randy's Read and Feed program. You can see the information there on the bottom of the words, front page of the words of the week. And it's a meal that we put on for homeless families, and it's a great event. So if you're free Thursday night, come and check it out, and you can help me do dishes. So I have some good news and some bad news today. The good news is we're receiving two members, John and Meredith Gilbert, who moved up here from California. They're joining us today. The bad news is the couple sitting right in front of them are moving to the land of rattlesnakes and scorpions. And this is their last Sunday. So we're going to welcome to and say goodbye to two. One is joyful, the other one not so much. Any other announcements this morning? Yes.
On the back it says there's a spiritual memoir class. But we were told at the last class that this Sunday was canceled because of our meeting.
Right, there won't be a memoir class today because of the annual meeting. Right. Thank you for pointing that out. Thank you, Kathy, for pointing that to Rhonda, who pointed it to me. Anything else? If not, please stand for the words of confession and forgiveness printed in your bulletin. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates us and forms us, who redeems us and calls us, who unites us and sends us. Amen. Amen. Gathered in God's presence, let us confess our sin. Mighty and loving God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We seek our own way. We have closed our hearts to your love and have resisted your light. We have failed to care for the poor and to proclaim your mercy. Forgive what we have done and what we have left undone. Heal us with your abundant grace and help us to walk as children of the light. Amen. Hear the voice of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim release to the captives. In the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim to you that your sins are forgiven and you are released. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are yours forever. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God. Our gathering hymn is number 310.
Oh,
the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Have mercy, Christ.
First things first, today is Clara's first birthday.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Clara. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, little girl. Can you wait?
are.
Hey, Claire.
There they are. They're waving.
Hey, Claire.
Look,
hey, Claire.
Hello.
Hey, Claire.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we doing? I gotta catch my breath. So, I brought something along this morning. You know what this is? It's a little toolbox, isn't it? So, I thought about that when I was reading our second lesson for today. I'll talk about that in a minute. But there's lots of different kinds of tools, aren't there? So if I was going to nail a hammer into a piece of wood, what would I use?
Nail a hammer.
You'd
hammer
use a hammer.
Hammer.
You're going to pound. You're going to pound a nail into a piece of wood. You wouldn't use a screwdriver. You'd use a hammer, right?
Except if you drip the hammer.
I know. I gave you the answer in the question, didn't I? And a good teacher never does that. I should have said if you're going to pound a nail, you use a hammer. But if you're going to hammer a nail, you need a hammer too. You wouldn't use a screwdriver to hammer a nail. What would you use a screwdriver for?
To put in a screw.
To put in a screw, yeah. What would you use a wrench for, a crescent wrench for? That's if you have a bolt, all right? To tighten or to loosen. Let's see what else I got here. You know what that is? That's a pipe wrench. So this is what you would use if you're dealing with pipes, with plumbing, which I hate, okay? I'm a terrible plumber. So there's lots of different kinds of tools, and each one of them has a very specific job, right? You got a hammer, if you're gonna pound a nail, if you're gonna loosen a pipe, you need a pipe wrench, if you're gonna do a screw, you need a screwdriver. And it made me think of the second lesson today, because the second lesson talks about how God has built his church. And Paul, in that reading from Corinthians, says that everybody's got a different gift. Some can teach, so they teach. Some can sing, so they sing. Lots of different gifts that God has given to us to do his work in this world. Not everybody can teach, but some people can sing. And all of us together, it takes all of us together to do the work that God has given us to do.
Justin Bieber can sing, and electricians can do electricity.
Justin Bieber can sing, and electricians can do electricity. That's right. And so we are, in a sense, God's toolbox to do the work that God has given us to do in this world, right? So, somebody's not going to be here next Sunday, right? Because they're going to go be God's toolbox. Where? Where are you headed next week?
Africa.
Wow. Meredith and Graham are headed to Africa to be God's tools over there. So we're going to close this little children's sermon today by having a prayer of safety for that, okay? Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you that you have given us many, many gifts to use in your service in this community and in this world. And we pray that you would help us to use the gifts you've given us to serve your people. We thank you for Meredith and Graham, who will soon be going to Africa to use the gifts you've given them to help the people over there. We pray that you will give them safe travel there and back, and that you would keep them safe and secure while they're in Africa, in Togo. And bless Peter and the rest of the family as they stay here at home and worry about Graham. Through it all, help us to know that we are all your children and that your love for us is eternal. Amen. Thanks, kids. You can all go out to Sunday school, I think.
lesson this morning is from Isaiah 62. The people returned to Judah after the exile was marred by economic and political troubles. Nevertheless, the prophet declares, Jerusalem and Judah will be restored. God will rejoice over Jerusalem as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, and the people are called to the celebration. Hear now the word. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm that we will read together is found on page 5 in your bulletin. It's the Psalm 36. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness is like the strong mountains, and your justice like the great deep. You save humankind and animals, O Lord.
How priceless is your love, O God. All people take refuge under the shadow of your wings.
They feast upon the abundance of your house. You give them drink from the river of your delights.
For with you is the well of life, and in your light we see light.
Continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your favor to those who are true of heart.
The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians 12. The congregation at Corinth experienced division as people were comparing one another's spiritual gifts, thinking some to be superior to others. Paul invites this fractured community to trust that God's Holy Spirit has gifted them all perfectly for their mission together. Hear now the word. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, let Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by the one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
According to St. John, the second chapter, glory to you, O Lord. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Well, your bulletin this morning tells us that we are now in the season of Epiphany in the church year. I don't know about you, but Epiphany is not a word that I commonly use, and it's not one that I hear others using much either. And yet, we all know what it is to have an Epiphany, don't we? We all know that when we see a character in the comics with a light bulb over his or her head, that they have had an Epiphany. What once was hidden is now revealed. What once was misunderstood is now more fully understood. What once was foggy has been made clear. So an epiphany brings light, understanding, and a new awareness of something important. So that's what should be happening to us as we read and hear our gospel story for this morning and throughout the Epiphany season. As those stories are read among us, light bulbs are meant to be going off in our minds. A new understanding and a clearer awareness of who Jesus is and what Jesus is about is the goal of this story told to us this morning by John. Now, on the face of it, it's a very simple and human story. Jesus, his mother, and his disciples are among the guests at a wedding in Cana, which is a small village just a few miles north of Nazareth. You need to know that this would be a very major event in the lives of all the people in the area. Life in those days was fairly drab and dreary, and so occasions like this were really looked forward to. Wedding feasts often went on for a week or more, so this was the event of the year for these people. This particular party had been going on for some time now, so long and so well, in fact, that a crisis was brewing. They were about to run out of wine, which would be a great embarrassment for the bridegroom and his family, a social disaster and a disgrace that the family would live with the shame of it for a long, long time. Somehow, Mary was among the first to realize that this situation was occurring. Maybe she was the only one sober enough to recognize it. I don't know. Anyway, no doubt seeking to save the host this great embarrassment, she turned to her son and said, "They have run out of wine." Now, Jesus responded to her with words that seem a little harsh and a little abrupt to me. "Woman, what concern of that is ours? It's none of our business. Besides, my hour has not yet come." But Mary completely ignores him and, turning to some nearby servants, says to them, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, in my mind, I see Jesus looking at her with a mixture of annoyance and exasperation. He's just told her that he doesn't intend to get involved in this situation, that the timing isn't quite right, and that his hour hasn't yet come. But she involves him anyway. So there the reluctant Jesus stands, surrounded by a group of servants, waiting for him to do something. Well, exasperated or not, Jesus is obedient to his mother. I can understand that. Crossing your mother is not something that someone wants to do, right? So Jesus plunges into action. Noticing the six large stone water jars standing nearby, he tells the servants to go and fill them to the brim, which they do. Then Jesus tells them, draw some out and take it to the wine steward. So again they go and do as they're told, and when the wine steward tastes what is brought to him, he is awestruck, for it's the best wine he has ever tasted. Going to the bridegroom, he exclaims, this is amazing. Everybody I know serves the best wine first, and then when everyone is too drunk to notice, they slip in the cheap stuff. But not you. You have saved the very best wine for last. End of story. So goes, according to John's Gospel, the very first miracle performed by Jesus in his Gospel. And if you think about it, it seems like a rather strange one, doesn't it? Seems like a strange miracle to begin with. If you contrast it with some of the other miracles, the healings, the feeding of thousands, the exorcisms, the stilling of storms, this one seems like pretty small stuff. Here, all Jesus does is make a whole lot of wine to keep a wedding party going strong, which may lead us to ask, why? Why this miracle? And why does John put it first? What's the point? Where's the light bulb? Where's the epiphany in this story? Well, as I said earlier, on the surface, this is a very simple story. But nothing in John's Gospel is ever simple as it seems. There is a much deeper and richer story here contained here than you might notice at a glance. But John is good enough to give us a few clues along the way if our eyes and ears are open to hear them and see them. For the key to this story is found in some of the little details that at first glance we might miss altogether. So, first of all, the fact that this miracle occurs at a wedding feast is a clue that we ought not miss. Throughout Scripture, both Old and New Testaments, wedding feasts are used as a symbol of God's kingdom, of that time when all of God's people will be gathered for a feast of which there will be no end. We find just sort of passage in our first reading for today. These words from Isaiah were spoken to God's people whose homeland had been devastated and who had been carried off into exile in Babylon. To these people, God proclaims, you shall no longer be called desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you. And as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your God marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. And in the book of Revelation, we read about the fulfillment of that promise. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard the loud voice say, behold, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the former things have passed away. By having this first miracle occur at a wedding feast, John is proclaiming to anyone ready to hear that in Jesus this kingdom has now come, and it is time to celebrate. The second clue is found in those four little words that began the story, on the third day. Those words ring a bell? Those words, too, should make a light bulb flicker a little bit in our minds, for no Christian can hear those words without thinking of another third day, a day which we call Easter, a day of resurrection, a day of new life. Somehow John sees in this story, occurring at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, a foreshadowing of the ending. In this story of water turning into fine wine, John sees the beginning of an unfolding drama which holds the promise of new wine, new life, and a new way of living that Jesus came to bring. Yet another clue is found in Jesus' words to his mother, my hour, my time has not yet come. Throughout the first half of John's Gospel, Jesus makes reference several times to a time, to an hour that is coming. Over and over again, he says that his time is coming, that his hour is drawing near. And then you get to the 12th chapter of John, the day that Jesus rides into Jerusalem to die. And on that day, Jesus says, "The hour has now come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this hour that I have come. And I, when I am lifted up, will draw all people to myself." The hour, the time that Jesus is speaking of, even at the beginning, is the hour of his death. That time when he will be lifted up on a cross and all God's saving power will be unleashed on this earth. In that hour, everything will be made clear. In that hour, the mystery of our salvation will be revealed and the veil between us and God will be lifted. Yet right here at the beginning of the story of Jesus' life and ministry, that veil is lifted but for a brief moment. The changing of ordinary water into the best wine you can imagine is a brief glimpse of the new life, the new beginning that Jesus' death and resurrection will reveal. And finally, perhaps the most important clue is found in those 6 stone water jars. For they are no ordinary everyday kitchen utensils. They are not everyday drinking water jars. No, they are, as John tells us, water jars used for the Jewish rites of purification. These water jars are a constant reminder to the people that all is not right between themselves and their God. The water they contain was used in an attempt to wash away sin and to make themselves right with God. But of course, it doesn't work. It didn't improve the situation. As the book of Hebrews says, these religious rituals can never make perfect those who draw near. The issue with these jars is purification. And the question, how does one get right with God? These water jars represent then all our human attempts, even our religious attempts, to make ourselves worthy of God's love, to get right with God. And in this story, John is telling us that Jesus came to do away with it all. The epiphany in this story is that in Jesus, the bridegroom has come near and the wedding celebration has begun. The wine of new life has been poured and now it's time to celebrate. Now it's time to party. So I say, let the honeymoon begin. Amen. Please stand as we sing together, number 312, "Jesus Come, For We Invite You." seated for a moment. And we will welcome into membership John and Meredith Gilbert. So if they would come forward. And if the congregation would turn to the affirmation of faith on page 6, we will be using that as a part of this little service. Dear friends, we give thanks for the gift of baptism and for these people, one with us in the body of Christ, whom we now welcome as members into the life and ministry of this congregation. So together with all the people of God, let us affirm our faith using that affirmation printed in the bulletin. I believe in God, who is love, and who has given the earth to all people. I believe in Jesus Christ, who came to heal us and to free us from all forms of oppression. I believe in the Holy Spirit, who works in and through all who are turned towards the truth. I believe in the community of faith, which is called to be caretakers of creation and servants of all people. I believe in God's power to finally destroy the power of sin in us all, and to establish his reign of justice and peace for all humankind. Amen. In baptism, we are welcomed into the body of Christ and are sent to share in the mission of God. We are called to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. Sister and brother in Christ, do you intend to continue in the covenant of your baptism among God's people in this place? If so, say I do, and I ask God to help and guide you. People of God, do you promise to support and pray for these new members in their life in Christ? If so, say we do, and we ask God to help and guide us.
We do, and we ask God to help and guide us.
Please welcome you new brother and sister. We continue with the prayers.
United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray for the church. Strengthen bishops, pastors, deacons, and all who lead your people in ministry. Pour out your spirit and make us bold to proclaim your reign of mercy and justice. Lord, in your mercy, for the earth, for vineyards and orchards, fields and gardens, urban parks and wilderness areas. Fill the earth with your abundance and provide for the needs of all living things. Lord, in your mercy. For the nations, guide leaders and decision makers toward the well-being of all in their care. Strengthen those who work to uphold human rights for the sake of the dignity of all people. Shelter communities threatened by violence and show us the way of peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For those in need, for those who face a scarcity of resources and those who struggle with debt, for all who suffer with chronic pain, all who grieve, and all who are ill, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For this assembly, transform us and fill us with your life, so that we pour out your love and service to the world. Bless all who work to provide food for others. Lord, in your mercy. With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died in faith. Inspire us by their witness and unite us in the eternal light of your presence. Lord, in your mercy.
We lift to you prayers of thanksgiving, O God, as we welcome John and Meredith Gilbert into our family of faith. Unite their gifts with ours and use us all in ministry and service to others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray, O God, for all the thousands and thousands of people who are struggling to make ends meet in this government shutdown. And we pray that you would bring some sanity to those who are called to be public servants. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray, gracious Lord, for all who are broken in any way this day, that you would bring your touch of healing and wholeness to all your suffering people. We remember especially in our prayers Kevin Lent, Sarah Snyder, Ann Swinehart, Judy Whitlatch, Laura Cusick, Lynn Clark, Pam Archer, Raymond Duarte, Susan Painter, John Stern, Don Davis, Kinsley Kessinger, David and Donna Bowman, Keith and Kathy Swenson, and Sabina Maresco. O God of mercy, drive away their suffering, give them firm hope, and strengthen their trust in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Hear now the prayers of these your children, O God, whether we speak those prayers to you aloud or whisper them to you in the silence of our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive our prayers, O God, spoken and unspoken, and fill us with the radiance of your love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Rise and share that peace with your brothers and sisters. Okay, there's a potluck waiting. Come on. I'm hungry. Our service will continue now with the offering.
This be the year of hope and healing. selfless giving, may this be the year of peace. And may we forgive and be forgiven.
Thank you. Blessed are you, O holy God. You are the life and the light of all. By your powerful word, you created all things. Through your prophets, you called your people to be a light to the nations. Blessed are you for Jesus, your Son.
He is your light, shining in our darkness and revealing to us your mercy and light.
In the night into which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his preaching and healing, his dying and rising, and his promise to come again, we await that day when all the universe will rejoice in your holy, life-giving rite. By your Spirit, bless us and this meal, that refreshed with this heavenly food, we may be light for the world, revealing the brilliance of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray,
"Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
You may be seated. The sacrament will be received today standing or kneeling at the altar railing and using the individual glasses. Again, the purple liquid on the outer rings is wine, the clear liquid in the center, grape juice. I also have gluten-free wafers available. If you have need of those, let me know when you come forward. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of one bread. Come, be filled with God's light and life. We sing the Lamb of God.
Thank you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. O morning star, fair and bright, you have refreshed us again with heavenly food. Go with us now, today, tomorrow, every day, that we may tell the story of your never-ending love and sing your praise both now and forever.
Amen.
Please remain standing as we have a little service of farewell and Godspeed for Dick and Lynn Gilbride.
Thank you.
please be the light of Christ.
Thanks be to God.